This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so I guess we'd start a little bit Peyek Rishon last time. We've done the luck back then, and I still got into Peyek Rishon, I think. I don't remember already. It's been a while. Start Peyek Rishon. I guess it can't hurt, kind of. Okay. So this is Akdama to Pirkei Avos, and obviously it's so he's trying to give a picture of the various koichas of a person, the issues, the problems. In other words, he's giving hakdamas that are shaykh to it. So the one thing to remember in the Rambam is that in the Rambam's picture, always the physical, the emotional, the ruchni, it's a continuum. It's sort of one flows into the other, and it's not as separate as you would think it to be, like different miktsoyos. The Rambam also, this was kind of Aristotle when he spoke about the heavenly bodies that we have. Work seemed to be already not so physical, and you know, and the malachim less physical. In other words, for us, there's a very sharp divide, and anything we can see or hear or anything, it belongs to the physical world. As no shaykhis, Rambam's not like that. Rambam says, "Da ki nefesh odo nefesh achas v'lo pu'ulos rabbis chalukos." So yikaru tzasipos nefashis. So even though we can sort of define different halakim of a person's nefesh, but you always have to remember that it's one entity. It's one entity with different branches, different halakim. So sometimes people will think that a person has different nefashes without making the cheshbon that's best to come from one place. So they don't mean physically defined chalakim as much as frameworks of function. So the Tzuras Adam is one nefesh with different halakim. Now the nafkimina will be, for instance, if a person, just like physically, even though the lungs do the breathing, and the veins carry the blood, and the stomach digests the food, but if one of them is sick, it affects all of it. It can't not be like that, because they're all kosher mekusher. So in the chelkei nefesh also, even in the big picture, l'mashal, a person who's very, very troubled, and very upset, and very hurt, he's not going to have an appetite. Even though l'chor appetite has to do with the stomach, and being hurt and so on, has to do with his emotions, but they have a hashpah. Midach kisa, somebody's very excited, doesn't need to eat, and he's up and about and running. They are tied together. They come from one sheirish, even though you can look at each chelik separately. V'atayu dea, shetikun amidis omnam hu ripur nefesh kechaseha. V'kumoy sheiroi fesh rapi agufis, so sheirat atchila agufa shepei b'chloli. V'chalak aguf mohem. You can't, if you want to ask, if a person wants to know how to deal with ailments, you can't start by saying, okay, temperature you treat like this, coughing you treat like that, and so on. If you don't have a havana and a tfisa, what does the whole system look like? It's silly. It's nonsense. We need to be able to get a sense of the clolius of the person and understand how it functions, the anatomy, the physiology, the pathology, and then you can deal with the disease. So if you understand the structure, if you understand how it works in a dynamic way, if you understand what areas become affected disease, you can understand how to treat it. So the same thing would be true in problems with nefesh day calls would be also like that. There's a, I think the Torah of the Rambam says, why were they going as the Sefer Refuah? So the Rambam says that a person can, so Rashi says, because they stopped having bitachon. The Rambam is very upset with that pshat, doesn't like it. He doesn't call it Rashi, but there was that pshat. So the Rambam says that in order to have a Sefer Refuah, you also have to know what the diseases are, how disease come about. So basically, a sefer that has a refuah for every machla also tells you how every machla comes about. So people were not scrupulous. People are not. They would know how to kill people. So if you know all the poisons how they work, so you know very well how to poison people. The refuah you may or may not have. So here also he says, you must know the person, what is his goof, what makes it sick, what makes it well, and so on. Kane, kashirapa nefesh, viyotza takinamidis, so sheda nefesh adam bechol v'chalakeho, umayechlo yisur mayevriya. So knowing and understanding how to deal with people and how to deal with issues means you have to understand how does the healthy nefesh work, what are the things that causes the problems, and how to deal with it. I'll start by saying shechelke nefesh chamisha, hazon, which is the basic digestive system, I guess, hamargish, which are the senses, hamidame, v'misor v'sichli. So midame v'misor v'sichli are three chalakim that are so margish and zon are simply physical in yonim, and they really have nothing not much to do with what he's talking about. Medame already is a koyach that's important for his in yonim, and we'll try to explain the medame and the mesar and the sichli. Medame is a person's sense of things as pictures. Lamashal, a child grows up and remembers somebody with a very mean face hitting him. So he has a certain picture. A child remembers is somebody giving him something very good. He remembers the taste of a birthday cake. All of these physical experiences form an image in a person's mind, and that image is Korach HaMedame. It's the reason why it's called Korach HaMedame. It comes from the word demus, demuyos. It also is used for fantasy and imagination, because fantasy and imagination deal with pictures dafka. Let's give a mashal. Somebody proposes a business deal to me. So a Seichelic approach is, I crunch the numbers. You could go wrong with that, but not because you were misled, really. There's no way you look at the numbers of this. Also, the guy might have fed you false facts. You might not know how to add up the numbers. But at the end of the day, numbers are numbers. But there's another way to do it. I come to a person and I tell him, listen, tell me something. You're living in a schleppy little apartment with an old battered car and suits that should be replaced. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. Imagine yourself living in such and such a oifin and this, 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 and this. Here's the business deal. So that has all to do about the images the person has in his mind. It doesn't have, you know, it's when he's using koyach hamedame, which is a very poor koyach to be critical of anything. Korach HaMedame is just, it's the experiences. It has no way of weighing emes and shek and so on. And that's why a person's dimyon is the biggest misleader, because there's no critical faculty in Korach HaMedame. I remember once when I came, when I moved to America, so there's this company that has sweepstakes forever and ever and ever. And they're always like, they were always the most advanced in, I think it's called Publishers Clearinghouse, something like that. They still send mail. I don't know, but they, so they had already a computer program that could fill in the details in the letter to make it sound personal. So I get this letter, you know, I can't tell you, you know, I can't give away secrets, but imagine that in a month from now, I'm going to be standing on 1111 Arcola Avenue, and I'm going to go down to the flower store, and they filled in every single one. You know, they're going to buy flowers down here, and they're going to bring it to me, and they're going to announce that I won $1 million, $10 million, $20 million, whatever. And it's amazing. And the only thing they wanted is they should buy something out of their catalog. I mean, listen, by the time you finish the letter, you were already drinking L'chaim. It wasn't, you know, and so the minor detail, the guy showing up, you know, so what's a $20 purchase of some Irish guy that they're selling over there? But the point is, that's kol kula kai hamadame. We talk with experiences and pictures rather than facts. So Koach HaMadame is the etzem placing, using pictures as the building blocks. Koach HaMisorer is the ambition, drive, greed that acts upon it. It follows closely. So when I picture myself being a big millionaire and so I run to go do it. This is what I want to do. Koach HaSeichel is a koach that is very critical, looks at facts, and can control everything. Or lav dafke does, but it can control everything. So those are the important ones. So I'm only going to talk about things that are get nefesh. Ki koach hamozna derech hamashal shel adam. So the koyach hazon is in each one unique, but it comes from the central. So we do use the idea of, you know, what's its nutrition, as a general klal, but each one is unique. You have many different animals and beings that have similar koiches. We do use a term that lumps together things that are similar, but it's not the same thing. So imagine three dark places that had three different types of lights. So even though they're all lit up, but what type of light and where it's coming from is different. So it's not really the same thing. Each one is different and so on. So the Rambam is very strong about this. It's not very clear why is it so important to him. In other words, yes, it's true that a horse has his own digestive system. I have my digestive system and so on. But does it really make a difference? He calls it a koyach. As far as we're concerned, it's a mechanism. Or the word koyach ha-nefesh is a little bit hard for us to grasp what that means over here. it's a mechanical function. It doesn't mean anything else. I don't know. I'm not sure why. So the first chelak hazon. So there he brings all the different aspects of the digestive system. Not important for us to go in. Then the second one, chelak hamargish. Mimena koreh sechamisha. And for some reason, moin hariya, hashmiya, hatam, reyach, famishush. Fine, that's also a very factual description. No chiddush. Who are koyach ashe yiskor rishume amuchoshim ache olmon mekiras achushim ashe sigum v'yarkiv k'tzosim k'tzosim v'yafik k'tzosim. So I want to talk about this because this is a point that's very, I don't think it's understood well enough. We can label things in two ways. We have experiences that our mind stores as experiences. So I tasted a very good cake. The image of the cake, the taste of the cake are in my brain. And I can summon it up. I can sort of focus on it again and relive some roshamim of the taste and the look and so on. I can do that. I can also create new fantasies. So I can take the cake and imagine that somebody puts on it, I don't know, frosting that I once saw someplace else, and then someone else puts a cherry on it, v'chulhu. I can work with putting, with being with sarif, different pictures and images to whet my appetite. On the other hand, that's so one system of retaining information that I experienced is this chush of medame. There's a second system where I can label things, give it a word, and then I'm not at all thinking of an image, but I'm thinking of a concept. So the marshal, let's say I happen to walk out to the downtown of the community and the stores are booming and bustling and so on and so forth. So the imagery is that all the stores full and bustling and so on and so forth. And I could fantasize it becoming better, worse, whatever. I can also put it down as numbers. There are X amount of people in this town. The employment is this rate, full jobs versus part-time jobs, manual jobs versus managerial jobs, this, that, the other thing. And I can remember numbers and data and analyze. So these are two parallel ways in which I can absorb the metzias around me. One is through senses, and that includes a certain level of experiencing something. And then there is also things that are words, which is bits of information. That's a sechadik remembrance. I don't have to. So when I say the curve of new economic opportunity has shot up, if I'm an economist, I think of the curve and so on and so forth. I don't think of the new factories opening up and new people working, whatever it is. I take it in the abstract form. And that's a seicheldik observance and put it together. So the first is chelak hamedame, where I take in items that's from the korach hamargish and I store it. It's the korach of a person that retains the various inyanim muchashim that disappeared after you close down the chush, after you're not looking at it anymore. V'yakiv tzasim tzasim, v'yafiv tzasim tzasim. So it can take a part, you can play with it. So you remember the picture of X, Y, Z, and you can fool around with it. Olefikach yak zekach medvon sheisigom, medvon sheisigom klal. A person can take using the imagery that he has to create images that he never saw. The efshar siga kemoi, A person fantasizes about a metal ship, an iron ship, going through the air, which everybody always points out. Guess what? It actually came about. The Adam Sharosha Vishmay Vagabaritz, the Chaya Balas Elephinaim Dech Marshal, the Arme Elinimils. So the Koach HaDimyon can put together all sorts of images that are not dafka consistent with the reality around him. So a person can be medame a ship flying. Basically, what he's doing is he's taking an image of a ship, he's taking the image of a bird, and he's pasting one on the other. There's many other things that are, you know, that can't be. So you can have it in the world of Dimyon. In the world of Dimyon, you can picture that which doesn't exist. The Kantora Medabrim, Atosam Gunak Doyla, Ashabonal Pia Tiosam Bahalukas and Huyev Efsha Nimna, Shem Hoshev Neodom Rachel, you call me Duma Efsha, the others that correct Yaget Version Susan Naskos Hara. So this is a side point of Rambam. The Rambam has a lot of issues with the Medabrim. Medabrim are a sect, they were an Islamic group. I think the Medabrim were like preachers, or they were the Chachamim of different halakim of Islam, and they're what they believed was close to Muna. Obviously, nothing to do with Muhammad, but the other Nyan and Barakadosh Baruch Hu and so on. But their way of getting it and sort of establishing it, the Rambam found to be extremely wrong. And one of them was that it's impossible to imagine something unless it could actually be. So if I imagine a ship flying through the air, it must be possible to imagine a ship flying through the air. That was what they believed. And B'melech proved certain points that they were trying to prove, the theological points. The Rambam says no. In the world of Seichel, that statement could be true. If we feel that something can't be divided by zero, then if we very strongly intuitively believe that, then that makes sense. That says, okay. But the fact that I can fantasize something, so if a person runs numbers, and he can make a theoretical statement about this, this, or the other thing. So that means it's hypothetically true. I can run numbers through a computer and say, you know what? This business model that you have, it could work. But the fact that I can fantasize about something, the fact that I can fantasize an elephant growing wings and flying away, does not in any way imply that it has to exist. They did believe like that, and therefore, anything that they said we could picture must exist. And that was part of their argumentation. But Akoponim, he says it's not true. And especially in the main point is fantasy is not a critical faculty. So it's just, if I have pictures, I will try to arrange them in a way that is pleasant, is enjoyable. That's my criteria, nothing else. So the Medabrim's mistake was by thinking that because they could imagine something, it really exists. The Kantor of Rambam.
That mistake was that they didn't realize that putting two different, the being mark of two different things together was
correct,
the cause of it.
Correct. That is, it's just copy and paste. There's nothing there. Seichel Marshall. Every person instinctively senses that you can't have two things in the same place at the same time. That's something that our seichel dehers. We assume because it's so axiomatic to our seichel that it's an emes. But the ideas that he's talking about is really something that is lavdafka true, because all you're doing is pasting pictures. So anything goes. The Yeshiva Shahavi on Nashu Kikol Medume Efsha, Volayodu, Shazak Koyach Yarkiv Dvorn Susan Nas Kimosh Zachano. They didn't understand that it's not a critical faculty of a person. It doesn't criticize. It just takes pictures and pastes them together. So anything you want, even if it's absurd, could happen over there. One more. V'chelik ha-besoyer, who are koyach ha-sheh bo-yishtokik ha-odom l'dvar ma' or yimaseihu. There's a koyach that of wanting something, of striving for something. U'mezeh ha-koyach yavo po'ulois ha-bakosh v'abricha. And this is what motivates a person. This is what makes a person do. A person does either by threatened or enticed, but something, the koyach hamisair is the koyach that drives the person. V'akas v'esratzus v'apachat v'az v'achsoyas v'achmonis v'ha'ave v'asina v'harbe me'el ha'mikr nafshim v'kukle el ha'koychas k'ev ha'guf k'korach yad ha'yad ala tfisa k'korach ha'regal ha'licha v'korach ha'in ha'ariya v'korach ha'liv ala oiz ha'pachat k'esha v'orim t'or m'nir on heim v'kaseyim k'elum z'akoych ha'sor. So yes, you have the hand does the grasping, but it's the koach ha-me'orer that triggers that process. So if someone says to me, how does a person hold something? How does a person take something? Well, the forearm goes down, the fist opens up, this closes, and on and on and on. That's all true. But I wouldn't have done it unless some urge pushed me to do something. So therefore, that koach is what gives a person, the koach ha-me'orer is what drives a person to do. Okay, we'll hold it over here, Mr. Hashem, and I hope we'll be more regular, just till I get into a routine. Take some time.
Thank you. Can I ask a quick question off topic that I hope is quick?
Sure.
Okay. Based off of everything that's happened the last few weeks, a question that has come up quite a bit lately from a few different guys is, when someone in the Torah was ma'anas a girl, so mitzad echad, we understand the punishment for the man, that it's not just as one night stand and you're stuck with her forever. From the girl's perspective, was this something that existed back then that would have allowed her to taka live with her ma'anas that shifted today? Or is it just a function of Nebuch, she would have had nobody to marry, so was kemetan, let her stay with that?
It's very hard to push back and understand what was the reality. Mm-hmm. The reality was that a person could want a ma'anis just because this person is somebody who, a ma'anis, obviously she always has a choice, yes right. Or no. So the fact is people very much wanted to be married, and it was more that the person who was ma'anis wanted a free ride.
Right.
So in that sense, the person was happy to, you know, people had a lot less expectations. That was the reality of it. And having somebody who was a decent fellow, he had a big taiva, and he tried to get a free ride. So, okay. So, you know, he stays with her. She has the brayer of staying with him. I assume that's the mahalach of it. And obviously she can always say no. And there's another piece to the puzzle I think is very important to understand. There's a Ran, and there's Beis Yosef brings a Rashba, I think. Something called Mishpat. If you take a look at the Torah, it certainly is not something that can provide law and order on its own. Like this, what about being honest with somebody? You know, The Rashba says, Reb Chaim Moshe has it in a letter to it's a letter to Rav Herzog about if they were to make a Medina or halachas, things like that. And he says, you know, the Mishpat HaMelech means the Torah's dinim, Mishpatim are unique halachas that we can play God and punish people for things they did. But to keep society functioning as safe is not that function, and the melech does that. And the melech imposes order, and he has sweeping powers to do that. So the job that modern criminal law provides, really the melech provided by whatever edicts he enacted. The specific dinim of the Torah are dinim where shutuf HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like it says, if somebody died in dinim islamito, he's not shutuf HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we can carry out oinish in this world. But it's a very narrow, it doesn't, if you think about it, just doesn't covers very, very, very little.
I mean, this idea of jail not being a modern concept.
By the way, there's a fascinating Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that Mefateh, he said the wealthy kids used to think it was a sport to get a girl. And so they pay for it. He explains it. He explains from experience in his world and so on. So, well, yes, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
So this idea of jail not being a Torah concept necessarily would have no meaning, because it's not about the Torah, it's about society, it's about keeping society safe.
Correct. A melech would kill for no reason. Yeah, I mean, kill for a reason of time. In Europe, there were places where they would put you in a stack. They would lock you up. As the community saw fit, whatever it would work. Was considered right, and 100% people, it's not, you know, it listen, the very fact in Hasra, I mean, how, if the only time you could get something is Hasra, think about it. There's a Ramah that says, you know, if he's believable, you believe in that. If you need Hasra and two men aid him, so these people get away with murder, literally murder and rape. Would you want to live in a society like that? It's absurd.
It's like New York City today.
What?
It's like New York City today with the bill reform and so on.
Does this answer the question?
Ways of dealing with it, you're saying. It has to be that society dealt with it.
Yes, it's in the second chelik of the Igros, Reb Chaim Oizer. And Mishpat HaMelech, look up in the tour. And basically, I can show you my requirements after the other. Yeah.
To answer the question, or do we need to answer the question of why the Torah wouldn't give a punishment to the Ma'anis, or that's has to do with the fact that it changed, that society changed?
I'm not sure what the Mahalach of there was. Why not? I mean, there are things, Pgam, in other words, it's seen as being like all Ben Adam Haveros, the punishment always gets translated to money. That, you know, on all, whether it's chayvul, whether there is no corporal punishment for any benon chavera, it's about paying up pgam and the boishes and all that.
But if it's so much worse and it has this such negative effect, is it possible that it didn't have that negative effect and that would be a reason, or that's not necessarily the case?
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of speculation because people looked at things differently. People understood things differently. I don't know. You know, it's very, very hard to go back. And I want to tell you, people, my parents were older people. My father was born in 1903, four, those years. And their perspective on life was very different. You know, to us, if to go out with a girl and the personality is not exact and it's a different type, and you know, we don't have all that much in common, is something that's our bread and butter. In those days, I need to settle down. I need to find a decent woman. Personality. You know, it was a very different, and people had extremely positive marriages. They learned to get along and to care and so on. I had Chassidish neighbors in Ner Zebir. My next neighbors was a Rebbe. He had their from kids, and they would do shidduchim the old-fashioned way. They would, you know, they would tell the chassan basically who he's marrying. He would meet the girl for half hour, and then they would walk in and say, save something for later, and mazel tov. I was the eidus at a lot of the time. Their family dynamic wasn't different than the Litvish Bacha. It wasn't, they were not, you know, they had happy lives. They got on well. You know, there was nothing there that would say, "Oh, it was a mismatch." You know, it was very similar. You know, I know them. They were next door neighbors, and I would see them in action, and I would see the shine. It's very different when, you know, when you know that this is a person you have to live with, and you know, and when we have to ask ourselves, "Do I want to live with him?" It makes us anxious when we're told we do the best of it. I don't know. It's a different mindset. It's hard for me to imagine. I just know that it exists. And the family life and the husband-wife relationship are not less. You know, there's very, very husband-wife dynamics there. You know, and I don't know. It's a different. I had a bacha in my vad nishiva. Mitzuyan Niflad Moid. He was Diane Weiss's grandson. His name is Label Weiss. He stayed, had a kashas for day. He lives in London. I'm Yuchadik. He was like Mishik Malmaila learning and in everything about him. He was English. But he at 19, he went back home and basically his parents set up shidduch for him. And I asked him something. I said, and he was pushed back. He said, "I trust my parents. They know what's good for me." You know, he's El Tazeda today. I've actually met his grandchildren. It's very fine, you know, light, you know, mamashah. I don't think you could take a litvisher book and have him do it that way. It wants your expectations, understanding. But here, I don't know. I was once in, I was a book in yeshiva, and I was in Meir Sharim. There was a farm store. As soon as you walk into the shuk, today it's where Eisenbach sits, his place. He would just pass away, Eisenbach. There was this farm store there. Oh, next door to this farm store, whatever. So I was there looking at Sfarim, and a Sfari lady comes in and she is talking to the owner. Obviously the owner was very involved in her life for some reason. And she was like a very upset, angry woman. "And my husband said this and this and this and that. And you should know I gave him such clawless. He'll never be able to walk again." And she listed the clawless. They were really were very imaginative clawless, like you know, a long string of clawless, like, you know, for the Nehemar. And when she finished, she said, "But you know, if he's willing to patch things up, I'm willing to patch things up. What's the problem?" and I was a young boy. I was 17, 18. I was a kid. And I was like stunned. Just, you know, first there was like this diatribe of that, you know, he's like coming to Russia and the clothes should give him. But then I'd really like to get together again and just, you know, make things work really well. I don't know. It's a different mindset. It's just hard for me to picture it, but it is. I have to recognize that. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.